And you are listening to special coverage on NHPR of the storming of the U.S. Capitol by pro-Trump extremists. Thousands of supporters of the president occupied the Capitol complex this afternoon as lawmakers were beginning to tally the electoral votes that will formalize President-elect Joe Biden's victory. Let's turn now to Congressman Chris Pappas, who represents the 1st District in New Hampshire. He's in a safe location in Washington, and he's on the line with us now to tell us what he's seen and heard so far. Congressman Pappas, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Hi, Peter. It's nice to be with you.
So where are you now? Tell me what you've been told by the congressional leaders about what's happening in this moment.
Well, we've had really minimal communication from leadership. Really, everything we've been getting has been coming directly from the Capitol Police about the ongoing threats that still exist. I mean, literally, we're still receiving in real time alerts from the Capitol Police that say, if you're still in your office, turn off all the lights, be quiet, get under your desk, get away from the windows. I think the threat is that imminent and ongoing right now. I was evacuated from my building because of threats at probably about 1:15 or so. I was in with my chief of staff, and a police officer came by, pounded on the door, said, "Get evacuate right now," and hustled us down the hallway and out the building. And in talking with some members of law enforcement outside, I was about a block away from the Capitol at that point in time. You could hear the noise. You could hear the sirens. You could almost feel the chaos in the air. And these police officers were shaken up by what they were hearing over their radios and said, get as far away from here as quickly and safely as you can in the opposite direction of the Capitol. So that's what I did. But there are many other members of Congress and their staff who are either in the Capitol complex, in specific House and Senate office buildings right now that are still sheltering in place. And so I'm, you know, fearful for them, for their teams, because it's very apparent that security was breached. There are people potentially still at large around the Capitol, and who knows what their intentions are or whether or not they're armed. So we certainly hope that law enforcement gets the backup they need to secure and sweep this place and make sure we can move forward.
Yeah, with respect to law enforcement, we're seeing images on social media of security personnel being overwhelmed. Why do you believe law enforcement in and around the Capitol weren't prepared for or didn't seem to be prepared for this moment?
Well, I think they face a variety of threats, and I tip my hat to them. You know, they work under some extraordinary circumstances. They see a lot of protests each and every day. Most of them are very, very peaceful. And so I think you're talking about a mob here that came with the intent of breaching security and storming the Capitol. And frankly, that's not something they face every day. So I'm sure there will be after-action reports on this, but they have done their best to secure the facility. It's just really nauseating to see especially the House and Senate chambers be breached, have these protesters in people's offices. And again, you know, this is a complex that's open to the public, but you have to go through security and through the metal detectors to keep everyone safe. These people didn't do that, and they were incited to do this. And I think this is the result of years of stoking this kind of extremism and a concerted campaign the last few months to get people to distrust the election and to try to do whatever they could to stop the vote count.
Right. And so what would you say to your Republican colleagues in the legislature at this moment, those who have supported the president's rejection of this November's free and fair election?
Well, I think universally they're aghast, and they you know, are wanting to secure the Capitol as quickly as we can to protect people's lives. And so people are calling this out. But I think what's most important is, you know, this was supposed to be a unifying day. This was supposed to bring our country back together after a tough election. And certainly there were going to be objections, and, you know, I've called those out, but there was a process for that. And at the end of the day, Republicans and Democrats were going to come together to certify the election and uphold the will of the people. And that was going to be a tremendous message for our country. It's been disrupted by this, and I hope this doesn't derail us. And I think there is a commitment from Republicans and Democrats to get back to the people's business as safely and quickly as we can. Hopefully later tonight, we'll see how quickly law enforcement can contain the situation.
Right. The certification has to happen on January 6th. But to your point about unity, this is not looking like a day of unity, as you suspect. And many are arguing, you know, Republicans who supported the president, who amplified his lies about the results being fraudulent, are in part responsible for what's happening in Congress today. And so Do you have a message for those Republicans in particular who are amplifying the lies of the president?
Well, I think right now this is a dynamic situation. And to anyone who can directly communicate with these protesters, especially the president, they need to be doing that to make sure that these people are leaving, that they're not harming property or lives, and that this situation can be brought under control. So I do hope that anyone who can, you know, speak and has credibility with this crowd will do that. I think beyond that, look, there's going to be plenty of time to talk about how we got to this day. But I think it's very clear there are consequences to stoking these kind of wild, debunked conspiracy theories.
Well, what would those consequences be for the president? Because the president, you know, continues to say that the election was stolen from him, and is though he's asking supporters to go home, he is still saying that the election was a fraud. What consequences should he face for his role in this?
Well, I think it needs to be repudiated by leaders all around. And the way we need to do that is by affirming the will of the voters and confirming the Electoral College vote victory for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. We will still do that, and I hope we can do that as swiftly as possible. And I think the president's behavior today and leading up to this day needs to be condemned. Earlier today, just a few hours ago, he incited this crowd, and we are now dealing with the consequences of that.
And so do consequences possibly include a vote to impeach the president for his role in today's insurrection?
Well, I think he has proven time and again he's not fit for this office, and today is case in point. And that's why he was not reelected in November. That's why he should never serve again. So that's something I'm sure folks will be talking about.
Mm-hmm. What about those who broke into the Capitol? What consequences should they face?
Well, there should be consequences, legal consequences for folks who have caused damage to public property, have threatened lives. And I do hope that those folks who got violent, that they're able to be arrested and brought to justice. But I think this continues to be a situation where there are still folks in the complex. We want law enforcement to have the space to do their jobs. And really, there's no space for this in our country. It's a sad day. And we've got to make sure that we're not allowing our democracy to be chipped away at or even delayed by this kind of action. The people's business has got to continue and move forward. And we need to make sure that we have a just, safe, secure society, and that the business of the people moves forward.
Congressman Pappas, I know you have to go soon. But lastly, I do want to check in with you once more. Do you feel safe?
Well, I do at the moment, but it was pretty jarring earlier today when we saw all this unfold. And, you know, I have deep concern for some of my colleagues who I've been texting with, who are still in their offices with staff right now. To all those, you know, Capitol Police officers and others who responded to this, we are just deeply concerned. So it will be unnerving when it's clear to go back in, I think, to continue to make sure the business of the day is carried out. But that's something we've got to do. So. Thankfully for most of the staff on the Hill, they were already working remotely because of COVID. I was in my office. Usually we'd have maybe a dozen or so people in the office, just myself and my chief of staff were there. So I think that maybe made the job a little bit easier to evacuate and secure some of the buildings. But look, it's a terrible moment for our country, and we just hope this can be wrapped up and concluded as soon as possible.
Congressman Chris Pappas, we're glad you're safe. Thank you very much for speaking with us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Peter.
You are listening to special coverage of the storming of the U.S. Capitol by pro-Trump extremists. We have reached out to all members of our congressional delegation. Both Senators Maggie Hassan and Jeanne Shaheen have tweeted that they are safe, and Congresswoman Annie Custer of New Hampshire's 2nd District also says she is safe. And we are going to stay with NPR's special coverage through at least 6 o'clock, and you can always check back for updates at our website, nhpr.org. This is special coverage from NHPR, news from New Hampshire and NPR. I'm Peter Biello.